Welcome to Your Life Reset, a Virta Health podcast series. I'm your host, Teresa Link, and in this series, we'll hear from people on their Virta journey, the wins, failures, moments of adversity, and moments of joy they're experiencing along the way. So sit back, relax, and listen as we unwrap the truly human experience of Virta. Welcome back to Your Life Reset. Today, we have a very special guest, Franziska Spritzler, a registered dietitian with low-carb expertise. She's the medical liaison at Keto Mojo, where she educates the public as well as healthcare providers so that they can implement this device and a low-carb dietary approach into their practice. Franziska also wrote a book called The Low-Carb Dietitian's Guide to Health and Beauty, and this is where I'd like to focus most of our time today. Feeling healthy and beautiful starts from the inside out, and it's not just for women. So let's get started. Thanks for joining us today, Franziska.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Teresa. I am thrilled to be here.
So Franziska, I've known you at least through email and social media for, you know, nearly 15 years now. And you were the first dietitian I had ever heard of who not only adopted a low-carb way of eating, but also counseled other people to do the same. And I just thought, wow, she is a rock star. I need to meet this woman. So oh, I've wow. got to admit, having you on this podcast is a pretty big deal for me. But I want to know, you know, what sparked your interest in a low-carb approach in the first place?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for all of your kind words. And I just want to say, it surprised me as much as anybody else. Up until 2011, I was making those standard recommendations that we all know, low fat. And in 2011, I received some labs. I'd had life insurance labs drawn, and all of them came back well, except my A1C was 5.6%. Now, that's not terribly high. For someone without diabetes, that's actually not too bad, but it is only 0.1% below the cutoff for prediabetes, starts at 5.7%. So I was a little puzzled because my fasting blood glucose was 82. And I thought, okay, the A1C is an average of your blood sugar over 3 months, both when you're fasting and after you've eaten. If my fasting blood sugar is only 82, how is my A1C almost at prediabetes level? I'd never had the A1C drawn before, and I'd never tested my blood glucose before, but I decided to start testing right away to find out if my blood sugar was going up after I ate. And it was. I was eating not a very high carb diet, but the kind of healthy plate that I recommended for other people. So a portion of protein, about a quarter of your plate as a healthy, high fiber grain, vegetables, and maybe a fruit for dessert. And my blood sugar was going up to over 180 milligrams per deciliter, which is diabetes level.
Oh my gosh. It's so interesting the number of people who have been lifelong, you know, quote unquote, healthy eaters, athletes even, who then found out that they also had high blood sugar and thought, how did this happen? I adopt such a healthy lifestyle and I always have. I'm very active. What is going on, you know, leading them to want to explore this further and kind of ultimately coming into the low carb space. So it's a story I think I've heard so many times now. So let's keep going.
Yeah. I started testing my blood glucose, as I said, and I thought, okay, now how do I control it? You know, I don't want to go on medication for it. First of all, I had normal fasting blood glucose anyway. I don't know if any doctor would have even thought I had a problem. But I started doing research online, and I found that there were some papers written on lowering blood sugar with diet by following a low-carb diet. And again, this was in early 2011. So it hadn't been talked about as much as you hear it now, but it was still out there, and also some diabetes forums. And I thought, okay, I'm going to start cutting back and see what happens. And it made sense to me because carbohydrates, I knew as a diabetes educator, carbohydrates are the macronutrient that raises your blood sugar the most. I just didn't think it was happening with me. And I thought the amount of carbs that I was telling people with diabetes to eat would be fine for them as well. What I found was the lower my carb intake, the better my blood sugar control was after eating. And I thought, okay, if that's the case for me, what about people who have diabetes and prediabetes? Wouldn't it be beneficial for them to cut way back on their carbs, much further than what I had told them to do and what I was doing? So I kind of never looked back after that. That was early 2011. I started my website and I was making plans to start my own business because nobody at my hospital was interested in doing this. They thought patients won't do it. And I thought, I can't give the same advice that I've been giving anymore. I need to start making low carbohydrate recommendations. So I started my own business exclusively focused on low carb and keto eating.
That is why I think you're a rock star, Franziska. You know, you broke the mold and you said, I'm just going to do this on my own. So now, what our listeners have tuned in for, tell us about how a low carb approach can enhance health and beauty.
Okay, well, first I want to make the point that health is the priority, right? Health and feeling better and being more functional, definitely the priority. But if you can improve your looks at the same time, that's just a nice side benefit. So eating low carb foods helps keep your blood glucose and blood insulin levels low. And what high blood sugar does is it can damage your organs. It can damage the blood vessels that lead to your kidneys and your eyes. It can damage your nerves and cause neuropathy. A lot of people with diabetes have neuropathy from high blood sugar levels. And all of that's happening inside, but high blood sugar can also affect your skin. Now, your skin is also an organ. It's the largest organ in your body. And the way that glucose, when it's too high, affects your skin is by forming cross linkages with collagen. So collagen is the main protein in your skin. It's responsible for keeping your skin healthy. When you have too much glucose and those cross linkages form, the collagen becomes damaged and you start to have wrinkling and loss of elasticity in your skin. So by eating foods that keep your blood glucose low, you not only keep your insides healthy, but your outsides as well. You feel better and your skin reflects better health.
You know, I find that so interesting about the collagen connection. As soon as you hit age 40, Instagram just floods your feed with every single type of thing that's going to fix your collagen or plump up your collagen so that you have fewer wrinkles or less visible wrinkles. You know, one of the best things that you can do is to really focus on keeping your organs healthy. And again, to your point, we often don't think of our skin as an organ, and how that really illuminates things kind of from the inside out. All right, so let's hear it. What are these foods that we should be eating that can help provide these benefits for health and appearance, as well as making sure that our bodies are healthy in every other way?
Okay, I have a number of them. First one is fatty fish. So that would be sardines, salmon, herring, anchovies, herring. I think I said that already, mackerel.
You must really like herring.
I love all fatty fish, but I do like herring quite a bit. So this is the best source of omega-3 fatty acids that you can get in your diet. And omega-3 fats are what are known as anti-inflammatory fats. And again, working against inflammation. You can do canned fish. If you don't want to make fresh fish all the time, you don't have time, canned fish is a good option. Second is full fat dairy products. So that would be cheese or full fat Greek yogurt. There's some research showing that they can help improve overall skin quality and also improve muscle mass in people who are getting older. So that's really important too. And avocado, this is one of my favorites. These are all my favorites, by the way. These are my 10 low carb beauty foods. It's rich in monounsaturated fat, and there's some research showing that it can increase skin elasticity and overall skin quality.
Absolutely. I love avocados, but even more than avocados, I love cheese and I love full fat dairy. It's an entire food group for me, I think. So I'm Same. Happy to hear that. Also happy to hear about the potential for improving muscle mass, especially as you get older. That I hadn't heard that before. So that's really great to hear. So we have our fatty fish, we have full fat dairy products, and we've talked about avocados. What else is on the list?
Okay, the next one's pretty surprising to a lot of people, and it's cocoa, or 100% cacao, unsweetened chocolate. So nothing with any sugar in it. Some dark chocolate, even though it's dark, it's still got sugar. I'm talking about the real 100% or at least 90% cocoa in a bar. This can help to protect against UV damage from the sun. And, you know, that's been shown in several trials, actually. So
really?
Kind of surprising. Cocoa. Not the Hershey's bars, unfortunately.
Oh, shoot.
But there's some good dark chocolate bars out there. And then just cocoa. And I'll talk about cocoa a little bit later, I think. And then nuts and seeds. These are a good source of monounsaturated fat, which is healthy overall, but can also be good for your skin. The next one on my list is flaxseed. And flaxseed is almost all omega-3 fatty acids and fiber. So the great thing about flaxseed is it's very low in net carbs. And as I said, very high in fiber. You do need to grind the flaxseed, because if you eat them whole, you won't get any of the benefits from it. But there are a few studies showing that it can really help to improve the quality of skin and also moisture in your skin as you age.
That's great. We have a number of recipes that we recommend where you can use almond flour, coconut flour, if you're making, you know, low carb muffins or low carb breads. And yeah, throw in some flaxseed in there. I feel like it would give it a heartiness, maybe a crunch. And then you've got some extra omega-3s as well.
Yes.
Fiber.
Exactly. You got it. Exactly. No, flaxseed is good. You know, only just a little bit. Flaxseed is something you don't want to do too much either. Maybe a tablespoon to 2 tablespoons a day at most. But yeah, it's got some good benefits there. Next on my list is olives and olive oil. So these are another source of monounsaturated fats, but they also have antioxidants. And what antioxidants do is it fights free radicals.
You know, I always think of free radicals as a pinball game where it's just bouncing around, wreaking havoc and causing damage everywhere. And then antioxidants are coming in and they're calming that down. And they're saying, yeah, okay, pinball, you need to go back home where you belong. We're out
That's
of quarters.
That's a great visual. That's how I'm going to think of it from now on.
Yeah. People understand that have played pinball or maybe grew up playing pinball.
Yes. So we want to keep those free radicals in check. And another way to do it is with green tea. So green tea contains antioxidants called catechins, and it contains a very special one called EGCG, and that's epigallocatechin 3-gallate. And I will never remember that one. That's why I say EGCG, so much easier. And studies show that it can protect the skin from free radicals. Black tea also contains EGCG, but not as much. Green tea is less processed than black tea. And so it retains more of those antioxidants. So you'll still get some with black tea if you don't like green, but green tea is the best way.
Okay. How much green tea should we be drinking each day to get the benefit?
You know, a cup or two a day, if you can. It's also lower in caffeine. So if caffeine makes you jittery, green tea tends to do that less than black tea does. And black tea does it a lot less than coffee does. So if you could just even do one cup of green tea a day and replace a coffee with that, I think you would get, you know, some benefits from the antioxidants.
Good to know.
Non-starchy vegetables. So all of the research on that is observational, but they do show a link between people who eat a lot of non-starchy vegetables and healthier skin. And it kind of makes sense because non-starchy vegetables, especially brightly colored ones, are loaded with antioxidants. So I think that's just another reason to eat them. They're also full of vitamins and minerals, and they're very low in carbs. And then my final food, beauty food, is berries. And all the research on this has been in cell studies. So, you know, take that for what it is. Haven't done any research on humans, but it does show that they have potential for fighting free radicals as well. And again, brightly colored produce seems to do that. And so berries, if you're going to have any fruit at all, that's the one I would recommend. It's also the lowest in carbs.
I'm also hearing a pattern here. A lot of the foods that are able to fight inflammation are also very friendly for a low carbohydrate approach as well.
Yep, absolutely.
Is there a particular dish or a particular recipe that is a favorite of yours that you perhaps find yourself making the most often?
Well, I have a recipe for salmon with basil cream sauce that I really like
Oh.
because those are three of my favorite things, salmon, basil, and cream. And I got this idea from a restaurant that we used to go to when I lived in California, that it was an Italian restaurant, and I would order that every time I went in. They served it with pasta, but I asked them, "Can you serve it to me with broccoli?" And they did, and it was just wonderful. So I put that in my book. And then lunch, what I often do is my 2-minute yogurt avocado salad. That's in my book. But nowadays, I don't really do the Greek yogurt that much anymore. I'll have that usually as a dessert with some chopped nuts. But I tend to do another protein, like either hard-boiled eggs, or I'll open up a can of sardines or salmon or another fish or some leftover chicken. But it's always the avocado, the arugula, and the protein, and sometimes some olive oil. And that's the other thing. If people need a little more fat in their diet, they can increase the fat by adding olive oil to almost any salad. And that's what I've done with this one sometimes.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
And it's so easy. That's the thing. I call it the 2 minute because really, as long as you have your protein source already ready, like you would have to hard boil eggs if you don't have them, but always keep some hard boiled eggs in the fridge because then you've got a go-to protein source at the ready. Oh, I did mention that I would bring up cocoa powder one more time. This is something I do
Yes.
often after a meal. I will have what I call hot cocoa tea, and I do that with a like an herbal tea. I like rooibos, like a chai tea. I'll boil water, let the tea bag steep, and then add just a teaspoon to a tablespoon of cocoa powder, some sweetener, and heavy cream. And it is so good. It is a dessert, very low in carbs, and it tastes like a rich dessert. So that's
Yes.
something I like to do as well. That's in my book as well.
So, Francisca, as we look to kind of wrap up our time together today, what are a few key takeaways that you would hope our listeners would remember from today's episode?
Okay. Number one, eating a minimally processed low carb diet to control your blood sugar can help you look and feel your best at every age. Number two, it's never too early or too late to start eating right and incorporating movement into your life, which I didn't talk a lot about, but I think it goes hand in hand with healthy eating to move in some way, in whatever way you can in your circumstance. And then number three, to focus on all of the nourishing, delicious foods that are part of Virta eating rather than those that aren't. Think of what you eat as beauty food that'll keep you looking good inside and out.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, and even better, leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you'd like to regain control of your metabolic health and feel like yourself again, check us out at vertahealth.com/join. Your Life Reset is for informational purposes only and shouldn't be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Contact your provider if you suspect you have a medical problem. I'll chat with you all again soon. Until then, stay inspired, my friends.